Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Cooper Helm and Jason Damon, here to talk about the latest production by the Lauren Riley Elliott Company. It will open with a gala on Friday. There is a preview Thursday. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but it opens with its gala this Friday. The play is Fences by August Wilson, and as we were saying before we went on air, Lauren Riley Elliott doesn't back away from intense, complex plays, and this certainly fits in there. I know there are many people in our audience who have heard of August Wilson and many who have heard of Fences, but let's just take it back a bit and talk about the playwright and this play, both winning awards and having a huge impact upon many different audiences. So, Cooper, tell us a bit about it, and then we'll get more into why you chose to perform it here in our community.
Okay, great. Well, hello, Judith. Thanks for having us. Fences is a play that August Wilson wrote. He wrote a series of 10 plays. He's got a few more, but he's got 10 plays called they're referred to as the Pittsburgh Cycle, and each play takes place in a different decade. And the goal is to sketch out the African-American experience throughout the 20th century. He was August Wilson was just an incredible playwright with incredible vision, and really found that the power of the medium, the power of theater and conveying a message and changing lives was very important.
Well, so a play per decade, mm-hmm. sketching out that experience, that is incredibly ambitious. And I think everyone noticed when you started to talk about it, and there was this big pause, because how do you describe such a genius? And people do talk about him like that. His vision, his ambition, what he set out to do and what he's accomplished mm-hmm. is pretty astonishing. This play, Fences, you said came out in the 80s. What decade does it describe?
This one is in the decade of the 50s. Now, it takes place in 1957. So this was after the Korean War and before the Vietnam War and before the Civil Rights Movement really took off. So it was really in a kind of stagnant area of times. So this more or less takes place, late 50s.
Mm-hmm. But filled with incredibly powerful emotions and social issues.
Yes, huge emotions, mm-hmm. huge mm-hmm. emotions in it. August, he wanted to, raise consciousness through theater and echo the poetry in the everyday language of the African-American, mm-hmm. you know, in his writing.
Well, tell us why you chose this play. Is this something you've wanted to direct for a long time?
Yeah, it is. I'm a big sports fan, and we look through plays, and I see Fences, and I see a bat and stuff like that, and it's about baseball, and I'm like, well, hey, here's a play about sports and baseball and things like that, and I think I can relate to it to a certain degree, but it's also considered top five of all the greatest American plays ever written. And behind that, just knowing that, and it won the Pulitzer Prize in 1987. It won the Tony Award when it was done on Broadway with James Earl Jones. It's an incredible story. It's a mammoth story. It's an important story. It's a story about change or the unwillingness to change. It is an all African-American play. But the character of Troy Maxson is actually a very universal character, and that was part of what August Wilson is trying to convey, is that through this character that you see, who is he's a garbage man, and you don't really look at a garbage man every day, and this was an opportunity for, to be able to look at the everyday black man and understand that he has the same problems, same issues, same awareness, when it comes down to love, honor, beauty, betrayal, and duty as everybody else, so you can visualize and, come to terms and get a different idea in life of people in general, and that we really are all the same.
Well, and it's also fascinating to see, to read and see plays set in a time period that so many people like to look back on and think of as the good old days. Mm-hmm. You know, that this was America at its finest. And you have playwrights like August Wilson and so many others, play Death of a Salesman, of course, mm-hmm. who are peeling back and saying, hey, take a look here. Look,
yeah.
look what families were going through, mm-hmm. What ordinary working people were going through in America.
Yes.
And great credit to Lauren Riley Elliott that you do tackle plays like that and help us to see that time period and also expose us to plays, again, that are in the pantheon of the greatest American plays. So
Thank you.
Of work, obviously.
Ooh, it's, it's a ton of work, yeah. And the layers are just peeling back. There's so much involved in this play as we, you know, as we progress, and we've progressed very nicely. Mm-hmm. We have several rehearsals left to even progress more. But even as the further we get in, you know, or getting close to perfection of what we're doing, we're discovering and finding new things that are underneath the writing, which are really, really powerful.
Well, I know you have made that point before when you've come to talk about plays you've directed or that you've appeared in, that the text is so important to you.
Yes.
That again and again, go back to the text, mm-hmm. and great writing is really important to you.
Yes.
The other thing that's important is a great cast. For a play like
Indeed.
This,
Indeed.
That must have been an interesting audition series
that
was you had.
Great.
Yeah.
We had a very, very good turnout and very tough decisions mm-hmm. to make about this for this cast, you mm-hmm. know. But it just it turned out, you know, we were able to cast it pretty fast. The people who came through the door fit the part. We had a couple of things that we have to do, a couple little aging things, some age appropriation, but that's not a problem. But as far as the guys, we got the cast that we needed. And for, I mean, there's only two girl roles, lady roles. Well, one is Rose, who was played by Viola Davis in the movie. And then the other one's Raynell, who's the daughter who comes in into the last scene. And we had just a ton of people come out for Rose. Mm-hmm, so that was mm-hmm. a very tough decision, but yeah. we made the right one, we believe.
Well, with us in the studio is one of your actors. Jason Damon plays Corey Maxson.
Yes.
So before we talk with you about your character and your background, sketch out the story itself. You've mentioned this okay. is about the main character is a garbage man.
Yes.
But what is the story?
It takes on so many different levels and so many different themes, but it's really about Troy Maxson, who is the lead character in this play. He's kind of, in a sense, like the Willie Loman of Death of a Salesman, but you know he's lived a rough life. He lived a rough childhood. He left at 14 years old. You know, he ended up getting in some trouble, going to the penitentiary. He you know, spent some time there, but he was great at baseball, and he played baseball in the Negro Leagues. And in those leagues, back at the time before, you know, you had the color integration in the baseball. So that kind of happened. The integration happened like very shortly after he was out of prison, and he was pretty old at the time. So he couldn't play in the major league baseball. So he kind of missed his opportunity there. He missed his dream there. Okay, mm-hmm. so but he's still stuck living in that time rather than moving forward, and you know the world is changing, and his wife Rose keeps telling him that over and over again that the world's changing, but he's kind of still stuck in his ways. And Corey, Jason here, who he's playing, is, you know, got a scholarship.
He's the son.
He's the son, mm-hmm. yeah. And, you know, he's doing really good in sports like his father, and he's got a recruiter to come down to play college. But his father is against it because of the way that he was treated when he was playing ball. And he feels, you know, that, you know, things are changing. Jackie Robinson had played, and, you know, things do look on the up and up as far as changes go. But Troy, the lead character, is stuck back, looking back at, you know, where he was in his life and his unwillingness to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the so many layers as you're talking about that, I'm thinking, but this also happens. Well,
yeah.
Let's talk about Corey, the son. As Cooper's saying, this is really about the men primarily. I mean, Rose is involved, but it's about those relationships between a man and the world, a man and his son. You play the son. How old are you in the play?
I'm 18.
So you're just about to go to college, and all of these possibilities are opening up for you that didn't happen for your father. Describe your character. What kind of person are you?
Well, in the play, I'm more of like a guy who just wants to, you know, make ends meet, like go to college, and like he's not trying to stay in the sports forever. I'm pretty sure he has another passion besides the sports, but his dad just not opening to the eyes of like supporting his son, like the time like he wanted to play the sports, and like it's just like Corey is just like that type of person that's just trying to be different than what his dad expected him to be, but like his dad is like the one holding him back with the sports, and that was the only way he got a scholarship to like get where he needed to get, and
it's just
a sad story for him.
And how would you describe your relationship with your father? I mean, there are all these issues of college and sports and everything, but what's the primary feeling between the two of you? Are you towards him?
He's Corey towards his father. I say, like, in the beginning of the story, like, he's really, really scared of his father. Like, he obeys what his father say. Like, he takes order to whatever his father tells him. And, like, close to the end of the story, it's, like, where Corey puts his foot down at his father. Like, he's taking action, telling them all things, like, the years of living with his father, like, confronting him for once in his life and, like, making his way to, like, just put an end to it. He's just...
I think I'm remembering correctly some lines that have always stayed with me, where you're trying to ask your father if he loves you or likes you.
Likes me.
Do you like me? And I think it was a recording that was played in this interview of, I don't have to like you.
Yeah.
It was, I've never forgotten those words and the feeling. It was hard to interpret. What was his feeling? Was he angry? What was he feeling when he responded to his son who's so earnestly trying to get that out of him? What do you feel at that moment when you're having that conversation with him?
Well, like in his position, it's like when Corey hears the things that his father tells him, he's really like putting his foot down on his son, like telling him about life and what actions to take. How he experienced it. And like, he's trying to make his son not like Troy, like when he was like making his mistakes. And so like with the part of saying, I ain't got to like you, Mr. Randall, give me my money. It's so powerful to hear that kind of stuff, because if you have like a dad that like acts like that towards his kids, that's one thing. But Troy, I felt like he did have love for his son. Like
he
does.
Say it.
He just couldn't find the right words to tell his son. But I feel like deep down he said it just so because he cared for him in a way, but he had a like, it's that tough love kind of feeling to Corey.
How, now we have to tell people you sound so mature when you're talking. You are in high school. You're about the age of Corey in the play.
Yes, ma'am.
So that was an excellent choice. There's a great review in the New York Times that Cooper put a link to from 1987, a critic at the time when the play was on Broadway with James Earl Jones. And he is saying when he saw the play in 1987, the emotions were overwhelming because that's what his father was like. That's what his uncles were like. He was in that right time period. He was only, you know, a couple decades away from that time period. How difficult was it for you to get into that character and feel, do you feel this is incredibly relevant and timely? Was it difficult to understand this father-son relationship?
Well, I can say from my personal experience, like what I go through to like today, like I do have like that father son mm-hmm, issue mm-hmm, in my life. Mm-hmm. So it's not hard for me to like
that is timeless. There always is.
Right.
You know? I guess it's in the particular way that it's expressed.
Yes.
You know, that changes, I guess, in time as well. You know, what words are said, what people feel they can do or not do.
Right.
So but it wasn't difficult to understand that there are father-son issues.
No, it's not hard to relate, but with Mr. Cooper's help into the play, he saw, like, he made me more, like, strong with Corey and, like, apart from, like, my father, like, son issue, like, with Corey and Troy's, like, relationship, it's, like, Mr. Cooper, like, brought me to my weakest points, and he brought me to my highest points. Like, parts of me, like, I probably wouldn't show in front of my dad because I have too much respect to, like, lose control.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
for Corey, like, in the play, he loses it, like, eventually.
Well, I mean, just that very sentence. that one sentence that keeps ringing in my ears. Mr. Maxson, Troy Maxson, is an incredibly powerful, in some ways violent.
Right.
There's a violence in him as well. And there's another level, too. It's not just the conflict with you, but he has some other children and other families that adds to the complicated nature of this as well, which may add a layer of difference here. So, Cooper, you have a lot to deal with in this play. I mean, I know anyone who's ever heard you talk about directing understands what you bring to it and the dedication you have to actors, and particularly young actors, to help them understand a role, to help them understand the power of theater. Has this been one of your more difficult projects?
I would say, yeah. You know, the story's so powerful, and to hear it over and over again, it weighs on you a bit.
Mm-hmm.
There is a ton of comedy in this show. There is so much laughter.
I guess we haven't addressed that too. But
in this show. For any play, any Pulitzer Prize-winning, Tony Award-winning play, anything like that that gets accolades like that, you really have to touch all human emotions.
Right. Otherwise, it's intolerable.
Yeah, it's not one-dimensional any chance. I mean, this goes from all of a sudden you're like, oh, laughing and everything, and then within 20 seconds you're like, oh, wow, that's deep.
Mm-hmm.
Why did that happen? And it just takes a whole another twist and turn to it. And it's like you were saying, you know, and what, you know, the whole scene with the famous scene with Troy and Corey about you like me and all that, you know, he's telling him to be a man and you need to, you know, be responsible and have duties and be respectful and not make the same mistakes and make sure people are doing right by you and all this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out in Act Two that things aren't so perfect for Troy and that he's human.
Mm-hmm.
And human just like anybody else and has made some mistakes and has to own up to it. And, you know, it gets a little hairy in that area. You know, he's got to own up to it, and he does. And he's got to take the consequences that go along with that.
I want to tell people who are just tuning in and finding themselves very moved by what you all are saying about this play. It is Fences by August Wilson, and the Lauren Riley Elliott Company is opening this week. They will have a preview on Thursday and then the grand gala opening on Friday. Fences won the Pulitzer. August Wilson has won numerous awards.
Yes.
It won the Tony that year as well. Amazing actors who were in it. And as you said, is in the top pantheon of American plays. It's considered something that just really reveals something incredibly basic and moving about us as Americans. So what a wonderful opportunity that we all have to see this play.
Absolutely.
How many performances will there be?
There will be 6 performances. We run 2 weekends. Mm-hmm. Actually, there'll be 7 because on Thursday night, this Thursday in a couple of days, we're going to have a pay what you can preview night.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can pay a penny to as much as you want to come see the show. We really would like to have, you know, several people, you know, 10, 15 people, you know, is usually about what we get, but we'd like to have more just so we can get a good idea of where the laughs are, and the actors can, mm-hmm. you know, kind of feel out the audience and get that first run before we really have our opening night.
Mm-hmm. Well, a great night opportunity for students, if there are any teachers who would like to recommend that their students see this play that Thursday, this coming Thursday night would be a really good night. So that's January 11th.
January 11th.
At Cité des Arts.
Cité des Arts, mm-hmm. yes.
What time does it start on Thursday?
We're going to open the doors at 7 o'clock. The mm-hmm. show will start at 7:30.
All right. And then the gala, you can find out more information yeah. through your website, Facebook page. What's the best
yeah,
place to?
Yeah, on Facebook. You know, we you can find us at the Lauren Riley Elliott Company,
mm-hmm. or look
LLC.
For fences. I'm sure that'll pop up.
You know, we'll pop up somewhere there. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, we're LRETheater.com, mm-hmm. but our website is LRETheater.com. That's got all our information on it. The opening night premiere fundraiser, which is hosted by the Stage Backers. That's going to be a wonderful event. We've done this about 5 times. We're going to have full dinner set up. There'll be some wine to drink and then and refreshments. And then there'll be a showing of Fences, the production. And then afterwards, we're going to have a meet and greet with the cast and complimentary champagne. And it's a super great deal, and it's a really fun event. And we're looking forward to that. So we have that on Friday night. Then Saturday night, we're going to have a performance, which will be at 7 o'clock as well, 7:30. And then matinees on Sunday at 2 p.m.
All right, lots of opportunities, but just 2 weekends.
Mm-hmm. Just
so
2 weekends,
we need
yeah.
to get it on our calendars.
Yes.
If you are just tuning in, my guests are Cooper Helm, who is directing Fences by August Wilson. He is one of the founders of the Lauren Riley Elliott Company. And also with us in the studio is Jason Damond, who plays Corey Maxson, who is the son, very critical part of this play, the son of Troy Maxson. He is at the David Thibodeau STEM Academy.
Yes, ma'am.
And apparently doing a fabulous job in this play as well. So we appreciate you coming, giving us your insights and thoughts about the play and your part in that play. Facebook page, website, so many ways to find out more about Lauren Riley or this production of Fences by August Wilson, one of the 10 plays that he wrote to describe the African-American experience, particularly, I guess, in, you know, that part around Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. where there was a lot of industry and really, really interesting things went on at that time socially. So 10 plays. This is one of that. What do you call it? It's not a trilogy.
It's called the Pittsburgh Cycle.
The Pittsburgh Cycle,
yes.
10 plays, one for each decade. So thanks for giving us that opportunity. Thanks for tackling it, Cooper.
Yes, ma'am.
We do appreciate that. And thanks for helping to mold young actors like Jason Damond.
Thank you. He's done great. He's done fabulous.
Well, thank you for your work.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you very much for having us.